Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Most recently, we've been talking about three aspects of true worship. The first being the fear of the Lord, and I've shared a lot of scripture throughout this teaching. Secondly, it's godly reverence or holiness. And finally, humility or contrition, recognizing our naturally or our carnal state before the living God, and that because of now the shed blood of Jesus, because we've accepted Him and been washed by the blood, we are now able to stand in the holiness and in the presence of God Almighty. There's a few more scriptures I'd like to share on contrition. Psalm 51 and 17 declares, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise." Isaiah 57 and 15, "Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place, and with him also that is of a humble and contrite spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Praise God. Hallelujah. And all these scriptures on the fear of the Lord, godly reverence, and humility gives us a picture of what true worship is. It's the state of our minds and our emotions toward the living God. They express what our relationship should be with our Creator. With fear, with reverence, and humility, we approach our God with an awareness of who He is, that He is God Almighty. He alone is God. He is the Lord. We are His. He's the potter. We are the clay. And so He's given us the ability to become true worshipers, praise God, to be able to have that freedom of choice that God has given us, to be those worshipers who would worship in spirit and in truth, through His grace, through His help. But we first have to make a decision through our intellect and free will that we want to do that. And then God will help us become those vessels of glory that will please Him. Our minds and our spirit must recognize and acknowledge God for who He is, and then we can submit our spirits to Him in willing service. The scriptures say the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus said that in Matthew 22 and 4. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Not only the temple of the body, speaking of the flesh, but the carnal and soulish nature of the natural man. And there's two references, and they give a description, if you will, of ruling our own spirits. Proverbs 25 and 28 says, "He that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Proverbs 16 and 32 declares, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." That's a very strong scripture. So he that's slow to anger, boy, that's a really good encouragement to have control over our tempers, right? Well, so I just can't help it. Well, you know, you can. You choose not to. Not to subdue that immediate response of anger or lashing out. But God says we can do that. And if you can rule your own spirit in this way, you are stronger in God's eyes than someone that has the ability to just conquer a city as a mighty warrior. That's saying a lot. So the question the Lord presents to us is, do you really want to become a true worshiper? Remember, Jesus said to the woman at the well, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, she was, Samaritan, she was saying, well, you Jews say we just have to go to Jerusalem. And he said, no, there's a time coming when that is not going to be necessary. You'll worship in spirit and truth wherever you are on the face of the earth, for God is seeking those who will do that. Psalm 51 and 10, it's a prayer, that verse. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And this is the same psalm in which David says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. This is a place I'm sure we can all identify with at some time in our lives. Unless we're earnestly and consistently and continually seeking God, unless we are, as Jesus said, watching and praying. Remember, he gave that parable of the five wise and the five unwise virgins. If we're not careful, it's very easy, the modern pace at which we all live, we can slip back into lukewarmness, indifference, spiritual stagnation. We can become spiritually apathetic. And I wonder, that's a danger none of us can be immune to, that only through God's grace and a willingness to search our hearts, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit. That's my prayer for all of God's people, that we can do that, not only myself, but all of us. And so what's the conclusion of the entire matter? Well, the will of God in the universe is worship. We know that Jesus is coming back. Isn't that true? And we're coming into a time, beloved, when universal worship will be restored as it was at the beginning. And I'm going to show you, I know I've given a lot of scriptures, but scriptures would back up whatever I say. It's not my own opinion on things. And these scriptures, these few scriptures I'm beginning to share with you are prophetical references to, if you will, to God's coming kingdom. Psalm 22 and 27 declares, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations. This is going to be literally fulfilled in the millennium. The nations shall worship before thee. Isaiah 66 and 23 says, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And then the prophet Zechariah 14 and 16 says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left, this is talking after the tribulation, after the great battle that occurs, Armageddon, all that's left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem, remember that's going to happen, scripture's going to be fulfilled, shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. That's that time of rejoicing where reminiscent of the time of when the people of God lived in tents in the wilderness. A few more scriptures. Psalm 66 and 4 says, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Psalm 86 and 9 says, all the nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. And although these scriptures, these passages I've been sharing with you are prophetical references to the literal kingdom, beloved, we can partake even now. The kingdom of God, what? Isn't that what scripture says? It's within you. And we can usher in as, we can say, but John the Baptist in this end time, if you will, we can usher in as true worshipers an era of universal praise and worship to God. And what are we going to do in the kingdom? Well, I'm not certain, but we're going to be kings and priests. That's what the scriptures say. In Philippians 2 and 9, the 2 and 9 going on through 2:11, this is a reference to Jesus. It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, can you imagine that, beloved? Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Revelation 5 8 to 10, the final scripture I'll share with you. And when he, Jesus, had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lord, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. The prayers you're praying now, well, it says they're as incense ascending. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain." They're talking about Jesus. "And has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Praise God. So, beloved, as I've brought this short message on praise and worship, we've heard the word of the Lord. Now our job is to act on it, to spread the word, to go and make disciples of men. That's the great commission Jesus gave to his disciples, to be a co-worker with the Holy Spirit in being, first of all, a true worshiper to the Father, and enabling, because of our example, the testimony of our lives, that we may be used of him to bring honor and glory to his name and bring others into that eternal kingdom. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being those true worshipers. Father, we thank you that you will enable our lives to be a living sacrifice to you, that we will bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, that we will have a spirit of praise within us at all times. So grateful, so thankful for what Jesus has done, what you have done in our behalf. And Father, we pray that you will enable us to be those true worshipers who will worship you in spirit and in truth. And the glory and the anointing that remains, resides within us, Lord, shall be used as a powerful witness to draw others to you. Lord, our words are very important, but what is even more telling is the testimony of our lives, that we can be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. We can walk in power and anointing, that we can, by our very example, Lord, what we do, what we say, how we are, will be testimonies to the power and the might of the grace of our God, who's able to make all of us new creatures in Christ Jesus. We thank you for it. Amen. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Judah saying, may God's best ever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.